97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra. Welcome to the Art of Potential show. We have a very interesting show today. We are talking with Brett Derby. Now, some of you may be familiar with the name. The Derbys are around Chapel Hill. Brett actually graduated from Chapel Hill High in 2006 and then said sayonara Chapel Hill and took off and went over to California, where he went to school at the University of Southern California. And Brett, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's great to be on.
Well, we are glad to have you. One of the things I want to talk with you about, because I think it's so important, is about your journey and about the advice that you can give to people who are about to go out and do the exact same thing you did. Because as you know, it's May and graduation time is right around the corner. And your journey is particularly interesting to me because I was your counselor at the time. You were one of the few people who said, I'm really getting out of here. And you did go clear across the country. And you've had a really interesting career path, and now you're headed back to school. You're going to the Columbia School of Business. So congratulations on doing that. That's exciting to get your MBA.
Thank you. Yeah, it's hard to believe classes are wrapping up next on the final week here. So, like you said, very well aware that graduation is coming up.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take you back in time, back to 2006. There you were sitting in the Dean Dome. It was awesome. You know, the crowds were yelling. There was a band playing. You were walking across the stage. Take me back there and tell me what it was like to transition from Chapel Hill and go all the way across the country to University of Southern California.
Wow. It's hard to believe that was already 8 years ago. But, you know, really, it just as I'm sure you can relate, just a mix of emotions. It was great to finally be putting the ending chapter on high school. And at the time, and for everyone, a major accomplishment. So that was fantastic. And for me, I was really just excited for the next step. So there's a lot of work put into grade school, really leading up to the point where you get that acceptance letter in the mail. And being able to go to the University of Southern California, I was on a half scholarship as well for merit. So it was really kind of stacked up to be a great opportunity. And so I was really just looking forward to the summer and then kind of making the move out to Southern California. Now, I think I was a bit naive, and it was a much bigger transition. And I'm sure, as you can relate, as you get older, making any transition like that takes significantly more effort and significantly more courage. And so I think I really, just given that point in my career, was very excited for something else and really exposing myself and growing as an individual.
Well, and I want to take you back to that comment of being naive, because I think everybody's naive because you can't know what you don't know. I mean, that's part of the journey. What do you wish you had known before you transitioned, or what things surprised you?
That's interesting. I guess my biggest surprise is how easy of a transition it really was.
Okay.
When you think about it, I mean, there's just such a big change going from high school to college.
Yep.
Where you lose really all structure in your life. so you're going through all kinds of adjustments, living on your own. And so I think that's what made it so easy. I mean, when you talk about going coast to coast, to me, I think the transition was almost very similar to some of my peers who just went to maybe UNCW or UNC Charlotte. And so I think I wasn't necessarily looking to go all the way to California, but I'm glad that I did because I think the overall transition was no different than it would have been at really any other school.
Okay. And that's interesting to me because I would think the culture in Southern California would be so different than that in Chapel Hill.
And it definitely is. Trust me, life is a little bit quicker. The iced tea is unsweetened. And so there's a number of things. It's certainly hard to find any pulled pork. So I had my parents ship me out some barbecue every now and then. But you're right. I mean, the culture overall, significantly different. But I guess just part of how I was raised was really to just get out there, explore and continue to expose myself to different cultures.
Yep.
And so I think that's what made it easy. Both of my parents grew up in the Northeast, and so I traveled around quite a bit already.
Yep.
And like you said, I mean, you're going through this transition with X number of thousand other individual students as well. And all of them have come from different cultures. And so it really is this great melting pot, no matter where you are. I don't think, even if I'd gone to UNC, I think the overall experience would have been just as much a transition.
Okay.
At least on a campus.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I'll share a little bit about my story. When I left Chapel Hill, I actually graduated from Chapel Hill High as well, a long time before you did. But anyway, I went to a school in Western Michigan, in a place called Holland, Michigan, at Hope College. And to me, the culture was so vastly different. But Western Michigan, it's just vastly different in its culture. It's a very conservative community. Very, very tied to the Christian Reformed Church. And that infused everything that was around me. Plus, it was a church-affiliated school, which I was not used to. But that's where all my parents went, my cousins went, all that kind of stuff. So that's how I ended up there. But it's interesting to me to hear you say, it was different, the cultures were different, but, you know, everyone just kind of moved along and kept it real, it sounds like. So that is
great. Yeah, and as you can imagine, you do have the local native students. So whether they be the kids that went to Temple High School and now at UNC, or the students that grew up in Newport Beach or in LA that are now going to USC, and they're around, and they really help, expedite that transition.
Yeah.
So they kind of show you around and they're local tour guides, and I think you'll really have that wherever you go as well, which is a really nice benefit.
Oh, it totally is. They tell you where all the good restaurants are, what you should avoid, all that kind of good stuff.
Exactly.
So when you left Chapel Hill High School, did you feel you were academically prepared for college?
Very much so. I think especially once I even got to college, just talking to some of my classmates about their academic experience in high school, I think Chapel High School and I'm sure East as well, both really kind of hang on to their reputation as some of the most rigorous ones in the state of North Carolina and even nationally. So just going through a number of AP courses and even just your regular courses, I think you're very well prepared for any college class.
That's good to know. So you felt you were prepared, you were ready to take on the academics, and you kind of settled in. So how did the roommate thing work out for you? Did you have a good roommate experience? Did you have one of those experiences where you're like, help?
It was interesting. We're not best friends. So it definitely wasn't kind of match made in heaven.
Right.
But we both were very different. So this was his first time living in the United States. He was actually from China.
Okay.
And he was studying pre-med. And I was studying undergraduate and within the business program.
Yep.
And so we both had very different schedules, very different classes. But it was unique just being able to see kind of his perspective on life and listening to some of the other classes that he was taking at that time. And just, again, really being exposed to this very different culture. So that was great. I ended up actually, so I lived in the dorms for the first semester. And then I actually had the opportunity to move into the fraternity house the second semester.
Okay.
And economically, it made really good sense to move into the fraternity house. And then also just had a lot of other really good friends that would be moving in there with me. And so I thought that it really made a lot of sense to make that transition.
Oh, totally. So it sounds like you rushed then your fall semester when you got to college?
I did, yeah. Okay. So really just a lot of stuff was going on that fall semester.
Sounds like it.
Like I said, there's really no better time, right? I mean, when it rains, it pours. And you really have this chance to just really kind of do a whole 180 on your life and your schedule and really what you want to get out of everything. And so I really ended up meeting some five of my best friends. So I ended up living with senior year, and they're now my five best friends, even though we're spread out across the U.S. And we all just decided that we kind of just wanted a place where we could all gather together. And so we ended up joining a fraternity, and the rest was really a great experience from there.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about transitioning from college into the workplace. You are listening to the Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra with The Art of Potential Show. Please take a moment and like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Today we are talking with Brett Derby. Brett is a graduate of Chapel Hill High School. He went off to college at University of Southern California, where, Brett, what year did you graduate from USC?
2010.
And then you had a work stint, and now you are back at the Columbia Business School. So let's talk for a moment about going from college into the workforce. Because, as you know, it's May, and we have a lot of students graduating from college around now. So let's go back to that area of your life. What advice would you give to people who are graduating about going into the workforce?
Oh, man, where do I even begin?
Right. That's a loaded question.
Yeah, first and foremost, the environment right now is significantly better than when I was coming out of school. So we definitely appear to be in a bull market, at least not nearly as bad as the environment that I was coming out into. So that's great. Always a good way to start. And, you know, hopefully kind of throughout your undergraduate studies, you're performing some type of internship or networking throughout that experience.
Oh, great. Okay, we're going to stop right there. So you're saying as undergraduates, you should be interning and networking.
Yes. So I was very fortunate in that I was very prepared coming out of school for the job market, having gone through an undergraduate business program.
Yep.
But I think even so, utilizing your school's career center, mm-hmm. They've got great resources that help you get your resume prepared, help you kind of go through the alumni database.
Yes.
And determine which alumni or at which companies you're seeking jobs at, how you can best utilize LinkedIn, and really just show you all the different resources. Now, at the end of the day, they're kind of based on the percentage of students they place in jobs. And so they do dedicate a lot of resources to helping you land that right job for you. And so I made sure to take full advantage of every resource that they provide us. So even from my second summer at USC, I was performing internships at some very reputable companies in Los Angeles and in Northern California. And so that really helps you determine what type of job you want to come out and enter into, so both industry and job function. And it also helps you build up that resume that your future employers are really going to base their hiring decisions on.
Excellent advice, and so true. So let me just make, I'm trying to imagine you going through this process. Your freshman year, did you go into the Career Center at all?
So from day one, they actually had us begin to furnish a resume and cover letter.
Wow. Was that with your program, so or was that
specific? Sorry?
Was that with your program, or was that with the whole university?
So that was specific to the business school.
Okay.
For the entire university, I think they begin to push that out second semester.
Okay.
And it was interesting because year over year, it seems like students begin to perform internships at a younger and younger age. I mean, I've even heard on other radio shows of students in high school doing internships.
They do.
And so I think more and more so, you've seen career centers really begin to go into freshman classes, even kind of some of these pre-orientation classes, and begin to stress them the importance of a resume, networking, et cetera.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's talk about some of the internships that you had, because your interest was always clear in business, correct?
Yeah, from very early age, just watching my father kind of operate a number of his smaller businesses and being some general management roles, definitely felt that that was the area that I really wanted to pursue.
Okay, so it looks like one of your first internships happened to be with Apple Corporation. It's a nice way to start out.
Yeah, so it was actually, I think it was the year after they launched the very first iPhone. So hard to believe it was that long ago. I remember their stock was trading at about $70 a share, and now it's about $550. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was it's opportunities like that, that going to a great school in a metropolitan area where there are plenty of companies like Apple and like all of the other companies out there today are pulling their summer hires from.
So Apple came in to USC and said, hey, we're looking to interns, and you raised your hand and said, hey, pick me, I'm your guy?
Yeah, you know, I'd like to say it was that easy.
Right.
So what you're seeing and what I've seen is more and more companies are basing their recruiting locally.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Apple's based outside of San Francisco. So they were sourcing most of their summer hires from the Northern California and Southern California areas. Companies just don't really have the major recruiting budgets to be flying people
right.
all across the country to interview students.
Right.
So that was one thing that I definitely took into my decision when I was trying to look at where I wanted to go to schools, was where am I going to orient myself around the most companies. So
interesting.
You can even have the opportunity to intern during the school year. So I know a number of colleges will give you credit for a number of classes if you're interning with a company and kind of doing more of an apprenticeship. So, yeah, they came on the campus. Each campus now has a very structured interviewing process where it's almost like hotel reservations. So you have companies purchase a number of interview slots from the Career Center, and then you have students submitting their resume online. And if they're invited to interview, then they just go on to their online site and they sign up for a specific interview time.
Oh, fun. Now,
went through that very structured process with a number of companies. It's almost just a numbers game at some point.
Yep.
Met a lot of great companies and had the honor to join Apple over the summer in their worldwide online store department.
Now, were companies wanting, in addition to your resume, were they also looking at your transcript?
So I'm trying to think back to that point.
Right.
I do think that they were asking for grades.
So yeah.
I know especially at 10, and still even at my age today at 26, they still like to see your GPA and any other scores, so your SAT score. So they're definitely looking at that. And I don't think it's until after they've given you an offer that they then ask for your transcript to really confirm that what was on your resume is honest.
Is honest. Okay. And that's interesting. They're asking for your SAT scores as well.
They're really, you know, I think it just speaks to the competitiveness of the entire job market now. There are just so many more candidates that it's my assumption that they can just easily filter out resumes that aren't hitting kind of a minimum threshold when it comes to SAT scores and when it comes to GPA.
I mean, the GPA, I understand. The SATs, it's interesting because in the college scene, we're seeing some colleges moving beyond the SAT and they're taking, you know, different types of testing or no testing at all. So it's interesting to see the job market picking up where the colleges are leaving off and saying, we want to see those too. So your SAT scores really do follow you around quite a bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think recruiters are cognizant of the different requirements that universities have.
Yeah.
And so if it's a school that's, you know, maybe taking the ACT or nothing at all, then I'm sure they're kind of looking at some other metrics maybe upon which they can filter.
Yeah, fascinating. But to your point, it gives them, the same way it gives colleges, just a clear benchmark to say, all right, if you're not over this, we aren't even going to talk. And if you are, then we are, because of the competitive nature of the market. There's so many folks in it. Absolutely.
Exactly. And I think the other big thing is I had an internship this summer before Apple. And so it's much easier to get a very brand name internship like that if you do have some additional prior work experience. So I had jobs going back to kind of the second year of high school.
Yep.
And so once you really build up this resume and you show that you've been working for a while, this isn't your first job, you can even give them references to former supervisors and bosses. That just makes them much more comfortable in taking a risk on you for the next 10 weeks, 12 weeks of the summer.
And that makes total sense because there's so much to be learned just about being an employee, you know, and just some office etiquette that you would really like people to come in into your office and know ahead of time.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking more with Brett about moving from interning to getting a job and doing all that. You're listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Brett Derby. Brett is a Chapel Hill High School graduate from 2006. He graduated from University of Southern California in 2010, and he is currently a candidate at Columbia Business School. So, Brett, we were just talking about how you went from, actually, we were talking about how you started working while you were in high school, which then opened up the doors to internships while you were in college. And then you went on to work, do an internship at Apple, which is, you know, pretty significant for a college student. And tell me about, in looking at your resume, it looks like you are moving into some type of healthcare venture capitalism. Does that sound right?
Yeah. So after being at Apple, really enjoyed that experience in the tech space. But then just happened to fall into healthcare coming out of school. I was really focused on the specific role and the individual that I'd be working for, less so than the industry.
Okay, so it was people that were attracting you to the jobs more than anything.
Yeah, that was actually funny that we talked about Apple for a while, but while I was there, they actually brought in the CFO at the time to talk to all the interns, 20 or so of us. And he mentioned that the number one piece of advice he had for all of us was, in any job that we look at, always choosing our job based on who we would be working for, especially at such an early point in our career and having so much development in front of us. So it was essential that we really had someone who is managing us through that process and who really could just kind of pave our way for success in the future.
That is excellent advice, and I know that's advice that's going to resonate with a lot of listeners who have worked for people that might not have been good people to work for. And I do know most people in their careers are going to find at least one unsatisfactory supervisory experience, and sometimes they can actually be quite damaging to the people who are involved in them. So it's interesting that that was the CFO of Apple's advice, really pay attention to who you work for. You know, it's interesting. We just had the social entrepreneur in residence on. His name is Alec Gettle, and he does a lot of building of companies. He's a serial entrepreneur, but he said he will go into partnership just because of the person he can partner with. He's not even concerned about the idea if it's a good partner. So it's interesting to hear you say kind of the same thing in a different way. You know, you really focused on the people. So what drew you into this field? What kind of management were you looking for, Brett?
Really, I was just looking for a company that really invested in their human capital.
Okay.
I think more and more, as you come out of university, you're looking at companies who are just kind of think tanks almost. So whether it be Apple or really any of these other fast-growing companies that you see today, you know, much of the manufacturing and other kind of hard labor jobs have been outsourced. And so they're really just kind of buying their brain. And so I wanted someone who was going to just really focus on giving me the feedback that I needed and helping me round out all of my skills to make me the best employee, best manager, and best leader over the next 20, 30 years that I was in the workforce.
So in theory, that sounds great. I'm really trying to see how you put that into practice. Like, how do you make that happen? What kind of answers are you giving in your interview that are, you know, helping you to see if this is a good fit or not? Can you walk me through that a little bit?
Sure. So I think much of it was the questions I was asking of the actual employer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they'll have your typical behavioral questions where they kind of ask you about former situations that you've been in the workforce, how you've handled them. And so those are kind of related to both campus projects as well as kind of some of those internships I spoke about. But specifically, what I was asking them over about half the course of the interview was just kind of some examples of how they've what their former kind of employees that have started at my level, where they are now within the company, or even where they've gone on to outside of the company. Okay. Asking them what types of programs they have to specifically develop leaders. So, in specific to the company that I joined right out of USC, they're called DaVita, and they have a specific leadership program for college graduates. And so you come into that, you're almost tagged as a high performer within the organization. And so every month or 2 months, you're meeting with executive management on some type of leadership course, or just getting to know their job, what they do, what their story was, and what they found helpful along the way. And so it was really kind of quizzing them just as much as they were quizzing me as to why I should join their firm. And really kind of showing to them my interest in really wanting to grow and not just come in and complete tasks for them, but really kind of help take them to the next level.
And it worked out well for you, it appears, because you won the Star Award for exceptional performance and exemplifying company's values. So,
I was very fortunate, too. That was another thing that I teased out in the interviewing process, and I continue to look for in companies. Are companies that recognize hard, smart work, and they're willing to reward it. So I think that's really essential to a successful company.
Mm-hmm.
Is just continuing to reward its employees and motivate them extrinsically as well as intrinsically. And so, yeah, it's fortunate enough just really kind of being under someone who recognized my work and really just was in a great position there, where I could really help move the company forward.
So after you did that, it looks like then you went to Edwards Life Sciences?
Yeah, so after spending about a year and a half, 2 years with DaVita, who is a healthcare provider, I then wanted some exposure to the other side of healthcare with a medical device manufacturer. And so I had the opportunity to come over and join their sales team and help them launch this transcatheter heart valve, which essentially eliminates the need for open heart surgery and instead inserts a heart valve up through the femoral artery on a catheter. And so you have patients who would go into the hospital and have their chest cut open, and they'd have to be in the hospital for several weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Who were walking out with a centimeter inch incision on their leg and 2 or 3 days from the hospital. So pretty incredible experience, really a great way to see another side of healthcare, which just continues to be an enormous part of our local and global economy.
So how did you go from DaVita to Edwards Life Science? Did you develop a did you have a connection that you used? Did you leverage your network? Did you apply to a job on the internet? Like, how did you make that transition happen?
So largely it was really leveraging my network. So This was, both companies are in Southern California, a town called Irvine. And so I knew a number of people, kind of secondary connections. And this was at the point when LinkedIn was very much kind of being used typically throughout the population. And so really utilized LinkedIn to identify connections that I had within the company.
Okay.
And was able to connect with a few people who were able to pass my resume on to the recruiter for this position, which I actually found on the company's website and become aware of. And so it was really kind of a dual strategy attack that I took. But I think something that I've really learned is that even when a job is posted online, there's so many people that can find that exact same job and drop their resume within a couple seconds.
Right.
That it's crucial to really find someone within the company who can advocate on your behalf and just pull out that piece of white paper with your name on it and say, this one should be able to get a second.
Now, that's very true. And the other thing I found just in working with clients is that sometimes the jobs that are posted online are already filled before they're posted. You kind of get this. The online world is a very interesting world to find a job in. And I completely agree with you, to have the online experience, but somebody inside the company makes all of the difference. Truly does.
Yeah, and the specific job that I thought I was applying for, was for someone who was post-MBA and had about 6 years of work experience. And so I knew that I didn't quite hit those qualifications, but I was able to really show my passion and enthusiasm for the company. And so they actually created another role for me in specific. And so I think that speaks to really your experience in that a lot of these roles online aren't always the ones that are open. But I think if you do see a company that has a lot of different roles online, then it shows they are in growth mode. And so hopefully once you get your resume in there, they can find something that fits for you.
Wow, that is pretty incredible. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Brett will undoubtedly give us more brilliant advice. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
If it's happening in our Chapel Hill Carborough community, you will hear about it on 97.9 FM WCHL, and you'll find it on our website, chapelborough.com.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra with The Art of Potential Show, and I am talking with Brett Derby. Brett was a graduate of Chapel Hill High School in 2006, and he graduated from University of Southern California in 2010. He is currently an MBA candidate at Columbia School of Business, and we are talking about just how to transition from one phase to another and create the best possible opportunities for yourself, which Brett has done remarkably well. So, Brett, we were just talking about how you created an opportunity for yourself, and Edwards Life Sciences created a position specifically for you because you showed how interested you were in their product and in their company. My question is this. We have graduates coming, you know, from high schools right now and from colleges right now. What advice would you give them if they want to have a similar path to you, not necessarily in business, but in their own particular career pathway?
I think there are a few things that I would definitely pass on to them. The number one thing that I've really tried to stick to is really setting goals, writing them down, and really identifying what I want to accomplish over the next year, over the next 2 years. And once I've got that line in the sand, really just doing whatever it takes to achieve that.
Okay.
So, like I said, you know, with getting into Edwards Life Sciences, taking all those different steps with my goal being to join that company, and even making my way out to USC, getting into graduate business school, all of those different things have been some of my goals that I've had over the years. And I think once you have an identifiable goal that you can really go after, that makes things a lot easier.
I agree with that. I just want to take you into that goal setting process a moment. Do you picture the goal in your mind? Is it something like you get a physical picture in your mind of that you carry around? Is it the writing? Like, tell me about the actual goal setting process.
For me personally, it's writing it down.
Okay.
You know, if I've visited, say, for example, I visited University of Southern California and fell in love with it. And so I had a very clear picture of it. But I think even just taking the time to write it down and physically see that in front of you and almost commit to it is a great way to really kind of start from there.
Oh, absolutely. Really, do you look at it every day? Do you look at the goal every day?
Right now I'm pretty busy with finals, but when I do have a very solid goal in front of me, then I do almost look at least on a weekly basis.
Okay.
And kind of every year I go through a process where I look at the goals that I've written down, and kind of track my success to those and then kind of think looking at the next 12 months, you know, different things I want to accomplish over that time period.
Okay. Well, that's great. Okay, so that's the first and most important thing. Set goals. Write them down. So you're talking to these folks. You say, you know, go ahead, set goals. How would you advise young people today to leverage their network?
So that was going to be my second piece.
Right.
and this is probably the hardest thing to do, at least for me personally, and I think for a lot of people I've spoken with, but just really staying in touch with everyone that you encounter and you have a meaningful encounter with. So whether that be your former classmates at Chapel Hill High School or your former classmates in college, former coworkers, it's amazing how small the world really is. And as you kind of move from one chapter of your life to another, it's incredible how much kind of your former relationship can help you in achieving those goals that you set for yourself.
That is great advice. I'm actually taking notes, too, as he's talking. And it's funny because Brett was one of my students at Chapel Hill High School, so I was your counselor. And obviously, many years down the road, we're still connected. So setting goals, leveraging your network. One question I have, how do you protect your reputation, or how do you promote yourself and market yourself?
So I think the easiest way to do that is just to allow your work to speak for yourself.
Okay.
You can put a lot of work into making your LinkedIn very sexy and all your different social media touch points. But I think your reputation really does follow you around for the rest of your life, and especially in the professional world. If you do great work, then your former coworkers are going to speak extremely highly of you. Your former supervisors will. You'll be promoted up. And so great work is always going to be recognized. And I think that just spending all of your time on making sure you come up with the best end result will afford you great opportunities down the line.
I agree with that as well. Do you write down the projects you've done or the things you've done so that you have a running list of some of the great work that you've accomplished that you're able to then use in an interview?
Yeah, it's funny you mention that because coming right out of school, that's not something that I was doing. And so, I found that college was great at really preparing you for your first job. But then there are a lot of nuances that you learn as you go through the job. And so after my first job, when I was doing the whole interviewing process for Edwards Life Sciences, I really had to go back and remember every single project I worked on.
Mm-hmm.
And so moving forward from there, I just had an ongoing list of every project, really the value that added to the company and how it was successful or why it wasn't successful and what I learned from there. And so it just makes it much easier as time goes by and more as passes through your work portfolio to relate back to when you go into those interviews and when you're going up for the next promotion.
That is such a great suggestion. I had one of the vice presidents on from Nations Bank, and he said every 3 months he goes and just writes things down just so that, to your point, because so many things just you forget about or whatever, and he makes sure he has a running list. What you're talking about doing, and just so that people know, a behavioral interview is also known as a STAR interview. It is being used in corporations. It's the most common type of interview right now. And it's situation, task, action, result. That's what your STAR letters are for. And it does have to do with what was the situation, what task did you perform, or what actions were you involved in, what was the result of it. And to your point, Brett, not everything comes out rosy. Like, there's always areas to learn. And people are okay with employees being vulnerable as long as they're willing to learn from their mistakes. And I think that's an important thing for folks to keep in mind who are out there in the job market right now as they go on. So any parting advice, any parting words to share with folks?
I think just really kind of jotting down notes like you've been doing yourself throughout this is helpful. And I think, I'm only one person. And
right.
You're going to be exposed to a lot of people throughout your life. And really taking the time to ask them about what they found helpful throughout their career. Maybe you'll just pick up one piece of advice from each person, but over time, you'll really be able to build out a great list of suggestions. And if you kind of adopt those into your work style and into your studies, that'll really help you and put you a step ahead of everyone else.
Absolutely. Creating great habits. create habits that will pay off. Well, Brett, thank you so much for spending this time and sharing with us your journey and telling us how you are successful and how other people can do the same. Thank you for listening. This is Kristen Heemstra with the Art of Potential Show.